I am about to embark on prepping for a colonoscopy tomorrow.
Ooh. This your first one?
No, I do them for fun.
Oh, sort of a hobby, I guess.
Yes, it's my first one.
Yeah.
And I'm very nervous and worried.
Yeah.
So, in about, as soon as I get off of here, I'm going to start ingesting my concoction, which will make me very upset for the next 24 hours.
Oh, that's right. You can't eat or anything, right?
Can't eat.
And that shake they give you, that's that stuff that, it's like...
I have to drink two of them and just drink a lot of water.
It's like radioactive or something, isn't it?
Oh, that's something else. That's another thing that you do.
Barium or something like that, right?
That's for, like, I think, cancer treatment. I don't think they do this.
Oh, I thought the point of the shakes were to make it show up on the x-ray or whatever.
The point of the shakes is to make your bowels clear.
Oh. So a whole lot of pooping.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to work, but that's hard to do lately anyway. Just my whole, you know, we've discussed this, my whole mindset lately. I don't know why I've been so averse to drawing in general.
I don't know.
What are you eating?
Not eating anything. I just opened up a package because I'm consolidating adapters into one package because they're scattered into a couple of them.
But I think I do have, since you were asking earlier, I do have a template that Dark Horse gave me that I will send you.
Okay. Yeah, I've got one for working at their regular size. I haven't done a 6x9 with them before.
Neither have I. And I'm working on a page of that right now.
Sweet. So is that first page an IFC?
No.
Okay, so there's an IFC, and then we'll see that as the first page on the opposite side.
Well, I mean, there'll probably be a bunch of blank pages and stuff, because it's a bookstore book.
Oh. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm thinking of it as a single-issue comic. Sorry.
No.
All right, never mind.
No.
I just wanted to make sure we were having the right page numbering going on, because...
You need to just shut up and be pretty.
No.
Yep.
I double-check things when I think I see something off, because it saves us trouble to take care of it early on.
I don't like you're talking to me. I don't like this tone you're taking.
Well, what would you like me to take? Like a B-flat, maybe?
No. That would lead me into my guitar stuff, which is... Well, first, we'll get to that later. Actually, they both have something to do with each other. And I'm doing a lot of theory stuff now.
Okay. You know, I once knew somebody whose last name was Theory.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
That's nobody's last name.
Yes, it is. Her name was Kelly Theory.
So, stop talking about your made-up girlfriend.
It's a fact. And she wasn't my girlfriend. She wound up marrying Luke Witt, who I was in a band with at one point.
So, I'm trying to learn how to...
Be pretty?
Know where everything is on the guitar.
Oh, okay. So, like, if I called out a note, you'd be able to play it.
Well, not just that.
Or if I said, give me a Phrygian scale.
Well, I don't know my modes either.
Okay.
I'm learning all the chords in every position and how they match up with the positions of the pentatonic scale or scales in general. It's all related. All of this will help me learn where the nodes are and everything.
Okay.
It's very difficult for me, at least.
I don't know how to do it.
I'm getting better at it. But I've been working with this teacher who makes me, I mean, he changes it up every time we talk. So I have to do different things. And he has me, you know, he has, it's like, go through all the different forms of chords in the different keys going through the circle of fifths. Do you know what the circle of fifths is?
Sorta, but not enough to actually say yes.
Circle of fifths is basically a concept that this guy in the 1600s created that helps you figure out your keys. So it's there's a lot of ways to use it, but among them greatly is the way that you can tell what chords are in a key and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I couldn't really explain it other than that anyway. But so I had to go around the circle in keys, and if you go in the circle backwards, it's the circle of fourths. So it's a mind-bending thing. It's very mathematical, which I've gone on record many times, and I'm sure you've witnessed this firsthand, how anti-smart I am when it comes to math.
I tend to blank out, personally.
Yeah, like, not only can I not do it, I, like, lose intelligence points. Like, I become a monkey when math is involved. And so then he's like, well, now you're going to go through and do them in the diminished cycle. It's like, motherfucker, I don't even know what that is.
What is the diminished cycle?
Well, see, this is where it's becoming actual work, because I had to go and look it up.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could do that.
Well, it's essentially you're going through a scale in thirds. And I went through it and had to make my own diagram for it. That's what I did last night. I made a diagram so that I could understand thirds in any particular key.
Oh, well, that'll probably help you remember it then.
It probably will. But the thing is, this is not what I signed up for.
I think it's actually exactly what you signed up for.
It is exactly. That's the thing. It is exactly what I signed up for.
I mean, it's probably all right there in the lesson plan.
It's like, why am I doing this?
Because you want to learn?
Yeah, but it's like 2 years so far, and I don't really think I can do anything better. I just know more about it.
Well, I mean, you know, at some point you'll need to start applying that to making things, you know.
Well,
was it not like this with art for you? Like when you didn't really know how to do anything with art?
40 years ago!
Well, yeah, but
there was no, I had no pressure on myself when I was learning to do things. I put no pressure. I was already pretty good at what I did before I decided to do all the hard work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a different story. This is like trying to learn on a schedule. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, but like, you know, you what took design in college and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, presumably, because design's not just drawing stuff, you were coming at it without knowing everything going in, right?
Well, again, a different kind of story. Did not really want to do design. Was in school to get a degree because my parents made me. Always was planning on becoming a comic book artist.
Yeah.
So I did the bare minimum in college. The fact that I've learned things was kind of like the trick that they play on you in school. It's like, oh, I fucking learned shit. I was trying to avoid that.
Damn them.
Yeah. So in hindsight, college was a good idea. Not when I was there. And here I am participating, actually focused, and all it does is frustrate me. Anyway, enough about the white guy whining. Mm-hmm. when you were a kid, what kind of posters were on your wall?
At what age?
Let's say you're 16, 17.
Actually, at 16, 17, I didn't have posters on my wall because I had moved out of my house and then moved back in, and I just didn't bother putting anything back up.
What kind of posters did you have on your wall? Let's not be technical.
Okay, before that, at 14 and 15, it was all band stuff mostly. I had a blacklight picture of a castle.
You had a blacklight picture of a castle?
You know, like a blacklight poster of one of the, like, fantasy castle type things. Yeah. I had a giant poster of Jimmy Page with his double neck.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to go find that. See, I'm drawing a panel from our book.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty classic picture. He's got it held up at, like, you know, like so that the necks are going straight up. You know.
Jimmy Page double neck.
In fact, I still have that poster.
Of course.
Let's see what else I have. I had a ton of, like, stuff I took out of magazines, pictures of thrash bands and stuff like that.
You had magazine, yeah, right. So, thrash band magazine articles or posters?
Pictures of the bands and people playing live and stuff like that. A lot of music-related stuff was the posters in my room.
Yep. I get that. That's why I'm asking you.
And I think I had a thing I had done. Wait, was that later? I'm trying to remember. At one point, I know I had a picture of Wolverine that I had done in art class.
Right. So this is where we cross over, yeah.
Yeah, I had copied, you know, that cover.
I've been trying not to put anything that's, you know, super identifiable as a Marvel or DC character, even though I had a lot of that stuff.
Right. I'm trying to remember what it was. I had recreated I didn't do the background. It was an X-Men issue, and it was just Wolverine on the front, and he was kind of lunging at you with his claws coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably like in the 180s somewhere, maybe 190s.
That's crazy. So you had artwork of your own on your wall.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't like it was an original piece. It was like me copying a cover, you know.
Yeah.
But I had blown it up, so it was like bigger. That was part of the project.
Yeah.
Was to take a smaller image and transpose it and make it bigger, and so I picked something I liked. So I had that hanging out at some point.
Okay, let's get back to the band stuff. Who would you have had on your wall?
Oh, let's see. I had pictures of Anthrax, Rush, Megadeth, Metallica. Mm-hmm. Pretty much late 80s, late 80s, I guess, like thrash bands and some rock and metal. I think I had some Van Halen up there. Iron Maiden, obviously.
Okay.
Just stuff like Nuclear Assault, I remember. I had some band photos of them that I took out of, like, I don't know, Metal Maniacs magazine or something, you know.
Metal Maniacs magazine.
Probably some Overkill. I don't know if I had a lot of rock stuff like Pink Floyd or anything. I don't think I had any Pink Floyd or up. I liked Pink Floyd. I just didn't have any pictures of them.
What was that magazine?
There was Metal Maniacs.
Metal Maniacs.
There was I'm trying to think of all the ones that were around back then. I mean, there were your Circus and stuff like that, you know?
Yep. I already did an homage to those magazines in the book.
Oh, yeah. Like Cream and stuff was still around back then.
Oh, by the way, you'll see it when you're lettering, but there's a page in there that has a fake, like, Metal Maniacs cover. And I have, like, the bands listed, but I didn't write the little headline slugs. So if you feel like doing that, you can.
Okay.
If you want to make up something.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Hit Parader was around back then. Metal Edge was another one.
Metal Edge.
Metal Hammer, But I think Metal Hammer was a UK magazine. Circus was another one.
Circus, obviously.
I'm trying to think of, like, it's been so long since I really even looked at any of that stuff, I don't remember. That was probably it. There were some, like, genre-specific stuff, like, I think there was a Thrash magazine. Not Thrasher, but Thrash. That probably about covers it, though. I mean, between, like, Metal Edge and Circus and Hit Parader and stuff like that.
Okay.
And, Hit Parader would have, like, special issues devoted to, like, just heavy metal or whatever.
So, yep.
Yeah, man.
That works.
All right. Well, there we go. Scintillating.
Scintillating.
Mm-hmm.
Of a woman. Scintillating of a woman.
Okay. Anyway. What else is new? So I made... Oh, wait. Welcome to week 856 of the Crankcast.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, sorry. I just got lost for a second. I think there was a magazine called Rip, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall. So, yesterday I made a casserole, right?
Okay.
It was a rice, chicken, and broccoli casserole.
Okay.
And this was the first time I've made that, so I was kind of winging it. It's a pretty simple thing. You know, pretty much you just dump everything in the baking dish and it cooks itself in the oven. But what I didn't realize, I was worried about the broccoli not cooking correctly. Because it was frozen broccoli, so I didn't want to just toss it in there frozen. So I heated it up in the microwave and then tossed it in. And then by the time it got done baking, it did something I didn't know broccoli could do.
What?
Turned into jelly.
It talked to you.
It talked to me. I hallucinated a lot after I ate it. But no, it turned into, like, texturally, like a jelly.
So you went too far.
I guess I did. Maybe I should have tossed it in frozen. Or baked it for less time. I don't know. But it was weird. It didn't taste bad or anything, but, like, you'd get this glob of snot in your mouth, you know, like if you didn't. So what I had to wind up doing was, as I was eating it, I had to kind of stir it to blend it all in so it wouldn't just be a glob of snot when you
did a broccoli piece. You used it anyway, is what you're saying.
It tasted fine. It was just that texture was weird, man.
That sounds gross, dude.
Once I blended it in, it was fine because you didn't get those, like, big globs of stuff. And probably if you're used to, like, drinking boba tea or something, you're probably used to it.
I hate this whole thing that we're talking about right now.
I mean, that's not my thing, but if you're into that, it's fine. It tasted fine. The other thing that was weird, I just didn't realize was going to happen, was that when you bake something that's got broccoli in it, that smell of broccoli lingers for a really long time.
Yeah, broccoli doesn't smell good.
It smells... I mean, it wasn't like when you burn broccoli, because burnt broccoli... is terrible.
Broccoli is burning broccoli.
Well, no, not if you're just steaming it or something, you know?
Mm.
So it wasn't like, it was just a normal broccoli smell, but it was strong and it stayed around for so long that after a few hours, I was just kind of like, oh my God, I can't stand this anymore.
It's so gross.
I had to, like, light up a bunch of candles to try to get rid of it, you know?
Unfortunately, they were broccoli scented candles.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, they were burnt popcorn scented candles.
I'm sure there's some weird company that makes...
Probably. The same company that, like, makes broccoli jelly beans. Because they're made out of the same stuff as the candles, you know. Jelly bean candles.
I'm so mad at you that you've made me think about this now.
Are there things I would do different next time I try this? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it tasted fine overall. Just had a weird texture thing. And, you know, if I was a kid, I wouldn't eat it. But, of course, as a kid, just the word casserole turned me off.
Yeah, I don't even think I knew what a casserole was until I was an adult.
I mean, I guess I didn't really realize it either. But as it turned out, you know, like, there's good casseroles, good bean casseroles and stuff like that.
Well, I'm a big fan of a casserole.
But for whatever reason, just the word casserole turned me off. And they kind of look weird, too, I guess. This big tray of kind of, like, wet stuff that's been baked so long, it's kind of mushy. Because I remember, like, being a kid and seeing, like, a green bean casserole. It just looked like somebody had already eaten it and then spit it back out.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't something I really wanted to put in my mouth. So, yeah. Weird how your tastes change as you get older. There's things I really liked a lot when I was a kid that I don't like now.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Right. And there's things I like now that I wouldn't have been able to stomach as a kid. So, yeah. Anyway, food, man. How's it work?
Well, I don't know. I've never known.
Yeah. So, you know what? You know what I really don't like?
What?
Wall-to-wall carpet in my house.
You don't like carpet in general, or just the carpet in your house?
I'm okay with rugs, but I don't like wall-to-wall carpet.
Why?
Because for one thing, it's just a giant dust magnet. Like a dust, dust trap, and it makes its own dust as the fibers decay. Plus, right now in this specific instance, before I moved in, they touched up the house to make it look better.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I think, pretty sure they skimped where they could.
Yeah, sure.
It's notable here and there, and one of the things they skimped on was it's cheap carpet that they put in the house. Like, within the first couple of years, it was already starting to mat in the traffic areas and stuff. And no amount of vacuuming is going to bring it back up after a certain point. Like, it just looks worn already.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been here that long. I've only been here like 5 years. But then recently, I started getting carpet bubbles. Now,
carpet what?
It's called carpet bubbles. It's when the carpet kind of shrinks up and you start seeing ridges in the carpet. And if you step on it, like, you can see it flatten out and then pop back up again.
Oh, that's not good.
No. And generally, that happens because they didn't install it correctly. Or they didn't let the carpet, like, acclimate to the room before they laid it down.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to fix that. You can have it restretched, and which, you know, just pulls those taut again. You could try to do it yourself. You have to go rent a carpet stretcher. Or you could pay somebody to do it, and that's, I don't know exactly how much money, but it's going to be a good chunk of money, probably.
Mm-hmm.
At least a few hundred dollars. And then, you know, and to do either one of those things, you got to get rid of all the furniture that's in her room, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't like my carpet. I don't even like the color of it anyway. And it's already, like I said, it's already starting to wear down. So I can't see it being fiscally responsible to either to spend any money to try to, like, restretch it, you know? I mean, if I'm going to clear the room out of furniture, I'm probably just going to rip the carpet up and hope like hell that there's something salvageable to the floor underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Because I prefer hardwood floors anyway. You know, maybe like a rug in the center or something. But, yeah, so I'm kind of like, I'm going to try this DIY kind of hacky fix to see if I can get the carpet bubbles down.
Mm-hmm.
It involves a syringe like you would use to inject fluids into meat when you're marinating.
This is weird.
And some carpet glue. Some carpet seam glue, actually. Which, it was funny because I found this on a website and I decided to look to see if anybody else had actually done it. And I stumbled across a forum that I guess is for home contractors because they were all throwing terms around like they knew what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they were making fun of the website, like saying, yeah, I guess this guy just saw somebody try this once and decided to put the information out there so everybody can screw up their carpets. Then another poster was like, hope they have fun chasing the, you know, the other carpet bubbles that this creates, stuff like that. I'm like, well, that's kind of disheartening. I mean, there could be a little bit of sour grapes there, because, you know, obviously professionals don't want people DIYing shit themselves. But, like, I figure, in my case, I'm probably not going to be any worse off than I already am, because if my ultimate nuclear solution is to just rip the carpet up anyway, then whatever, I suppose. But it's just kind of like, I don't know, it's one of those pain in the asses that's even more irritating because it's just, it's something I got saddled with rather than making a choice to do it. It's not like I decided on that carpet, put it in there, and then screwed it up. Somebody else did this and I was just stuck with it when I moved in.
And the wood underneath isn't good?
I'm not going to know until I take it up. I tried to get at it where the heating vent is, but I couldn't get past the carpet tacks and the padding to see what the floor looked like. I seem to remember the previous owner telling me that, because it was his uncle that owned the house before he died, and I seem to remember him saying something about the floors being painted, which is pretty common in old houses. So I don't know. It's probably not going to just be natural colored wood under there. It's probably going to be some sort of paint job on it. Which, I mean, you know, that's not terrible. That kind of takes a decision out of my hands and just means I'd have to repaint it again, which that's not that big a deal. I used to do that in my grandma's house when I was a kid when she decided to change floor colors.
I thought she did that with magic.
No, Mike, there's no spell to paint your floor. You've been watching too much Fantasia where he animates brooms and stuff.
I feel I've been lied to.
Well, blame Disney. You know, Disney was a witch.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Or, I guess, a warlock. Depends on how gender-specific like those things are. I don't really know. I was never too clear on what the difference between a warlock and a witch was. Because I'm pretty sure I've seen men referred to as witches before, too. Maybe they were just different disciplines. I don't know. Yeah. It's like, you know, Disney's head's not really dead or frozen or anything. It's just floating around.
Really?
Yeah. Yelling at trees and stuff. He went a little crazy.
I learn so much when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, some of it might even be true.
I don't know about this part.
Probably not. But, anyway. So, yeah, that's my domestic situation at the moment. The joys of homeownership. Oh, plus I have to lay concrete in the front to fix the corners of my steps.
Why?
They're crumbling away. I guess cracks developed and then, you know, several years of water and then freezing and then thawing and then freezing and stuff caused the cracks to expand and the concrete beneath it to get all crumbly. So I got to clear all that away, build some frames, and lay some new concrete over that to patch it up until I can actually afford to hire a professional to redo the steps. And for all I know, those steps were laid when the house was in 1940. So, I think, you know, that's a pretty good run for concrete, probably.
Probably. I'm not sure that long.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they may have been replaced sometime in the, you know, in between, but the foundations of the house were laid in 1940. So, and those steps butt up against a coal room, and they look like the top of the coal room, which is my front porch. So, I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know, man. I'm not a doctor.
Halloween? That would have been another band that was up on my walls.
It's too late. I finished.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm drawing a car on cinder blocks.
Huh.
Did you ever have a car on cinder blocks?
No, but I currently have an old car parked in my back.
Well.
Or parked behind my house. It's under a car cover, though. I've never lived anywhere that had a car on cinder blocks. I did live in a place where we took the back seat out of my van and used it as a porch furniture. Well, sometimes. Because sometimes I needed the seat in my minivan. But if I was taking the seat out to, like, transport band equipment or something, then we'd put it on the back porch and just sit on it. Hey, sit on it.
Oh my God, you're a sweat hog.
I'm Fonzie.
Oh, right, yeah, Fonzie, sorry.
Man.
That would have been a crossover.
Yeah, I wonder how they would have done that, because, I mean, there'd be temporal anomalies there.
Oh, right, I keep forgetting the time difference.
Yeah, because one was supposed to be in the 50s and one's supposed to be in the early 70s.
Well, it was modern day when it was out.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, it was supposed to be in the early 70s.
But weren't they on at the same time?
When did Happy Days start? I don't know.
I feel like Happy Days started in the 70s.
For some reason, I keep thinking that the whole 50s revival thing was, like, later. Okay, Happy Days ran from 74 to 84.
Yeah, 74, that's real early.
Well, that's almost mid-70s. Let's see. Welcome Back, Kotter ran from 75 to 79. So, yeah, they were contemporary.
And, I knew it!
And I don't think they ever addressed how Mork and Mindy actually related to Happy Days. I mean, because it was a spinoff.
They had very... Oh, right. Well, they had very modern views of... I mean, and even as the seasons go, they kind of just gave up on the 50s thing. I mean, as far as, like, design-wise.
I wasn't even real clear on what year in the 50s Happy Days was supposed to be in.
I mean, the Chachi with that leg bandana thing, that's an 80s thing. That wasn't a 50s thing.
Well, did that become an 80s thing because of that?
Oh, definitely, but they weren't wearing it like that in the 50s.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Huh, and the other spinoff, Laverne and Shirley, ran from 76 to 83, and that one was always confusing to me because it never seemed like the 50s, it seemed more like the 60s.
Yeah, they were very timeless.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Mort got around it because he came back at a later time.
But they age backward on Ork.
Oh, so very good point.
Like, if he came back 20 years later, he should have been, like, a kid, you know?
Well, we don't know how quickly they age.
Maybe there's time dilation involved in the trip between Earth and Ork.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, maybe...
I mean, that's where you're going to see your hard science fiction is in those.
Right, I mean, if his egg ship...
Aaron Spelling shows.
If his egg ship was approaching, you know, near the speed of light, then relative time to him would have been a lot shorter than it would have been on Earth.
Mm-hmm. That's what the Time Life book said.
Yeah. So, quite possibly, that could work. Okay, so apparently, I'm not finding a hard date here, but I guess Happy Days was supposed to take place from the 50s into the 60s.
Sure, that makes sense.
And so was Laverne and Shirley.
Doesn't really make sense about Pinky Tuscadero's Silver LeMay jumpsuit.
Oh, that was... LeMay was all the rage in the 50s, man. Early 60s.
Jumpsuits?
Well,
LeMay jumpsuits?
I mean, I guess if you've got LeMay, you could make whatever you want out of it, right?
I guess.
I mean, hey. I don't know. Hey what? But
are you talking to yourself?
I think I am.
Hmm. You don't know if you're talking to yourself?
Who are you?
Great. This is the quickest breakdown I've ever seen in a person.
My brain's melting trying to figure out this whole timeline thing.
I understand. I had the same problem earlier this week. when I was trying to understand the Hobgoblins movies.
Oh, okay.
So Rick Sloan made this movie, Hobgoblins, which is, you know, objectively terrible, so much so they put it on, it became a classic episode of Mystery Science Theater.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a guy that works, he's starting as a security guard overnight at a movie studio.
Right.
And he's got these weird cartoonish friends that all live in the same house, I think? It's very strange and terrible. Well, anyway, in that movie, the old guy training him tells him about the hobgoblins that live there, and he has them trapped in the film vault in
right.
the basement
yeah.
to never go down there. And he does, and he lets them out, and blah, blah, blah. Hilarity ensues. In the second movie, the same characters are there.
Right. But they change it.
Played by different people, but they've never heard of hobgoblins before. Like, the events of number one never happened to them.
Didn't it, in the second one, don't they actually come out of the film or something?
No. I don't remember that part. No, they have it's a Beetlejuice situation. You say hobgoblins three times and they show up.
Oh, okay.
And the old man that blew up the movie studio trying to get rid of him is in a mental institution, and the kids are now med students at the... And they're working there? And it made me so angry. Because I was like, what is... Is this a remake? Did he fucking remake his movie? Not only that, but it's like 20... That movie was made 20 years later.
Right.
So it was in the, like, 2000s, and it looks like it was made in, like, 1989.
I mean, I guess it's a reboot.
It's not worth rebooting.
They weren't unwatchable.
That movie is terrible. The second movie is way worse than the first movie.
It's not a good movie, but, I mean, it has moments.
It doesn't have any moments, dude. It has no moments.
Like, kind of funny.
No, there's no funny in it.
I mean, in parts.
It's terrible. It's terrible, and it made me mad. And I expected more from the creator of Vice Academy 1 through 6.
Now, I am... Okay. Why would you expect more?
Actually, that's the funny part. It really did feel like a Vice Academy movie more than... Hobgoblins was, like, his earlier stuff, like Hobgoblins and even, like, Space Games and, what are the other movies that guy... He's made some really bad movies. Are way better than, like, he started this formula of, like, basically making, like, Leisure Suit Larry movies, essentially.
Oh, he did Blood Theater.
Yeah, Blood Theater, that's one.
That was his first movie.
Yeah. And that movie's terrible, but it's, like, charming. It's so weird. He lost the weird, and it just became terrible.
Yeah. 2009 was Hobgoblins 2.
Yeah, there is no excuse.
I've watched these...
The first Spider-Man movies had come out. There's no excuse for that to be coming. That's crazy. All the prequels.
I mean, you know, dude, honestly, I was just as confused when I saw Evil Dead 2. Because I'm like, this is the same movie.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's different, but it's pretty much the same movie.
That's true, but this is way different in that...
Well, Evil Dead...
There was nobody asking this guy to make this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Evil Dead was a lot better.
Yeah, nobody asked this guy to make this movie. He spent 20 years planning to make this movie.
Well, I guess it's maybe because it was his?
Yes.
And, I mean, at that point he had been on a 10-year break since the previous Vice Academy movie. So maybe he thought, you know what, I'm going to give this one more shot, and I'm going to use my own property because that way all the money's mine. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
Or something like that, I don't know. What was, it doesn't say how what the budget was, but it said it was made on a real slim budget. The second one.
Yeah, a Slim Jim. He gave a Slim Jim to a guy. And they gave him some camera equipment.
And, he used a lot of stock shots of explosions and car crashes.
Yeah, I think a lot of them. He did. He was kind of famous for that. I act like he's dead, but, you know, that's he did that before already.
Yeah, huh. And he hasn't made a movie since? So I guess maybe that, I don't know. I don't know what that means, honestly. No, he's not even that old.
How old is he?
60.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Yeah.
He's just dumb, isn't he?
That means, he was 28 when he made the first Hobgoblins. And I guess he was high off of watching, like, Gremlins and Critters and shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the new Mystery Science Theater, there is, not to give spoilers away, but there's an episode where they get into the differences between the 80s movie monsters like that, like the Critters and the Gremlins and the
Ghoulies
and the Munchies and
Munchies,
the
yeah.
Goblins and the
Evil Toys or whatever. Puppet Master.
Whole had a bunch, Puppet Masters, yeah, that kind of stuff.
And subspecies. They had little critters in them, too.
So I got to draw all those guys.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. Oh, the trolls from Troll.
Yeah.
Which are actually goblins. The troll in Troll.
Well, the troll in Troll is actually a troll, right?
The troll in Troll is a troll. The trolls in Troll 2 are goblins.
Right, because they live in Nilbog.
Yeah, which is...
Goblin.
Yes.
They're backwards goblins.
Backwards goblins.
Nilbogians.
Now, why, or did it? I don't recall, but why didn't, since this was an Italian movie, have Goblin do the soundtrack?
I don't know.
The one movie where it's kind of like...
Expected.
I would expect that.
Right.
Even Goblin didn't want to be part of that.
The first Goblin movie was... Not Goblin. Troll. Sorry. Never mind. I don't know what I'm thinking.
The first Goblin movie is trippy... And, like,
wait,
sort of...
What's the first Goblin movie?
I meant Troll movie.
Troll, yeah, the first Troll is a good movie, I think.
I wouldn't call it good, but it's definitely... It's trippy and scary, especially if you're a kid.
And it's you know, I just watched it a few years ago again. It's still really entertaining.
Hmm.
And, for, you know, I mean, decent effects, decent cast. I gave it thumbs up. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
So, suck it.
I won't.
Suck it.
This is my new favorite bit, is Crank telling me to suck it.
Suck it.
This is funny. I like it.
Anyway.
Crank will accept nothing but sucking.
Take it.
Take it.
Yeah. Anyway. I forget. What was the point of what we were talking about?
Oh, I don't remember why we were talking about it.
Oh, brain exploding trying to figure stuff out.
Oh, yeah. It just made me mad. Right. I was really angry.
I got it. Times like that when you need to tell these things to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Long-ass punks?
Yep. They can take it.
Take it.
Take it. That should have been like the CTA's permanent slogan.
I really love that.
I mean, have they come up with anything better since?
Oh, I don't know.
When was the last time you were actually on a train?
It was before all this mess.
Yeah.
I was taking it quite a bit because, you know, I don't like driving.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
And, you know, it's real close. Julie was taking it, too. I knew you were going to say something.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Mm, sure.
I can't imagine that they ever came up with anything as good since.
Let's take it?
Yeah. Especially because, like, they promoted it so aggressively. The font and stuff, it was, like, angry. Like, take it! Take it! All in caps and really big, like it's yelling at you. Just take it! Maybe now we can take it. Sweep it and use it ourselves.
I can't.
Crankcast. Take it!
Charger.
Or something. I don't know. You know.
Charger.
So.
Yeah.
Tell me something good.
I got nothing good for you, man. I've just been working and trying to, you know, get better at something.
Yeah, yeah.
Started considering going back to conventions.
Yeah, is C2E2 in August this year?
Something like that. Might be August or October. I think it might be August, yeah.
Let's see. C2E2 tickets go on sale March 15th.
Okay.
And the show is August 5th through 7th.
I applied. That's and I applied to Thought Bubble.
Oh, yeah? That's a UK thing, right?
It's a UK thing, but I miss going there, and I love my friends from there.
Right.
Thinking about, I think, the Wizard World show here has become a fan expo now.
So Wizard World doesn't own it anymore?
It's not. Wait, so I'm thinking about going to that.
Is Wizard World still a thing?
I don't think so.
Huh. That's the one. Are they still doing that out at the airport? Or not the airport. Out in the.
I mean, it's across the street from where they have. Oh, right. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's out in Rosemont.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Is it still out there?
I think it's out there. I think it's still out there. I don't know. I'll find out then.
And it's the, what you said, Chicago Fan Expo?
Fan Expo Chicago.
I stopped even really thinking about that show because it just seemed like the last few times I went, it wasn't like even the people at the tables didn't seem like they were having a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have got better or something, I don't know, but it, after that, it was just like, it's not really worth going anymore.
Yeah. They're going to do the Memphis show again, so I'll probably go to that. Nobody's asking me to go to these shows either, by the way. That's also a change from how it used to be.
Oh. It matters.
Yeah, it matters, but I'm just planning on it. I'm just planning on it in general.
So apparently Wizard World's still around.
Hmm.
I think. I can't get to their website because it won't load a... It keeps wanting to load an unsecured page and when I try to load a secure page, it fails.
That's fine.
So maybe it's... I don't know. Anyway. So Fan Expo's in July. And then in August, we got C2E2.
Mm-hmm.
When is... The Kansas City show's already passed this year, right?
No. I think that's this month.
That's this month.
Or it's in April, something like that.
That's one I've been wanting to check out for a long time.
Yeah, it's nice. The last time I went there, I liked it.
I always hear people say good things about it. Like, it doesn't seem to have, like, any kind of, like, bad rep or anything.
It's very similar to like a Heroes Con, which I would like to go back to actually too. So we'll see about that.
I never did Heroes.
Heroes is nice.
I wanted to check out what's the name of that, like, you know, it's for small press, indie press.
Which one?
There's like two of them, right?
The SPX one?
Yeah.
I think Rafer does that one. He lives near there.
I kind of always wanted to check that out, too. Because I think...
hang out with him.
Didn't Sean Dove go to those a couple times?
Yeah, he's been to one. I used to go to them. I've been to like three of them.
There's SPX and what's the other one? Mocha?
I don't think they do Mocha anymore, do they? I don't know.
Oh, maybe not Mocha.
There's TCAF in Canada. That Sean does that, too.
Wasn't there one that was like that was on the West Coast?
There was Ape.
Ape.
But I don't know if they do that anymore.
Oh, there's that Emerald City thing. Isn't that kind of a smaller one?
No, that was bought by Reed Pop.
Oh, okay.
That's another one I need to go back to.
It's like, I'd totally love just to hit every convention on the circuit, but I gotta be kind of picky about which ones I go to because I never table.
Yeah, it's too much traveling for me, and you know, being at home this last 2 years, I mean, has made me want to stay home more than get out.
Oh,
I've gotten stir crazy. I still want to get out, but I don't. It is only reinforced my, you know, 2 years of not going to conventions. I'm like, I'm good. Don't really need to do those.
I want to get back into being in public again, just because I don't want to fall into that thing where I don't feel like I can go out because I'm afraid to be around people or something. You know,
it's too late. It's too late, man.
It's not too late.
You already were.
It's not too late at all.
These too late.
So yeah, I don't know. I think I might at least try to hit C2E2 if they'll give me a ticket. If they won't give me a ticket, maybe I'll just come out there for that weekend anyway.
I gotta take my stomach stuff. Oh no.
Now? How long does it take before it kicks in?
Oh, I think it's almost immediately.
Maybe you should wait until we're almost done, then. Well, I guess we all are almost done.
Well, I am going to wait until we're done. Don't trust me on that.
Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want to hear you. You know. Are you home or are you at the studio?
Oh, I'm home. Sean Dove said I should probably stay home.
Oh, well, that makes sense. You don't want to keep running to the public bathroom and risk not being able to get into a stall or something. That would kind of suck, dude. That would be to suck. Or something. Sorry, I was looking at prices for tickets and stuff. Guess maybe if I don't get a pro badge or something, I can always try to, always just buy one for a day, because...
What I'm going to try and do is just go places with Julie, try to make her go with me.
Oh, yeah.
Because she doesn't usually go to the convention. Sometimes we'll turn, like, the Europe ones into, like, a vacation, which I'm still planning on doing. Like, if I go to Thought Bubble, I'll make her go with me.
Yeah, I imagine she went with you last time you went to the UK, right?
She didn't go to Thought Bubble with me.
Oh.
But, like, we'll just go there and then we'll go somewhere else. Because she always wants to travel places. And, you know, they really need me on the front lines in Ukraine, so.
Yeah.
I might just zip up there. I can take care of that whole mess.
You're the, you're their secret tank buster.
They call me Tank Buster.
That's actually, yeah, that's on your ID. First name Tank, last name Buster.
It's the reason I'm going for this colonoscopy.
So when you put on your uniform jacket, the little name tag on your left breast says Buster.
Buster.
Yeah. And people just refer to you as Tank.
Well, Tank Buster.
Tank.
Tank Buster, Private Eye.
That sounds like an 80s indie comic book character.
It really does.
Tank Buster.
But yeah, I'm thinking about that. Like, if we go other places too, you know, and we'll go anywhere that she can hike, I'm sure she'd love to go.
Right on. Well, it's, you know, I mean, working vacations are kind of a nice compromise.
Yeah, sure.
Stuff like that. Anyhow. There was something I was going to say about...
Being a punk?
No, Pierce Brosnan.
Oh my God, why?
I like that fella.
I, okay. Are you a fan of Taffin?
Taffin?
Whenever somebody talks about Pierce Brosnan, I bring up the movie Taffin.
I don't think I've ever seen Taffin.
It's about the IRA. It's an Irish movie.
Oh, no, mostly.
From the 80s. I remember I rented it when I was a kid because I was like, he's cool. He's on Remington Steele. This will be a cool. And they market it like the box looks like this action movie, but it's not. It's like this, like, serious movie.
Yeah. Nah, just recently I watched the remake of The Thomas Crown Affair from late 90s. He was in it.
Taffin.
And it's sort of a heist movie, heist romance movie.
I know what it is.
I don't think you do.
I know exactly what it is.
I really don't think you do.
Because I am knowledgeable.
I don't believe that.
What? Really?
Well, okay.
That's rude.
You're rude.
Oh, my God.
That's right. I said it. I went there. And for some reason, Maggie Q keeps popping up in movies I see. I've seen
her. Yeah, she's been in them. Yeah.
And I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's part of the recommendation algorithm. Like, if you watch one movie with Maggie Q in it, all of a sudden you get a bunch of them. I don't know. But there was a movie called The Protégé that was pretty good. It had Sam Jackson in it, too.
That's a pretty recent movie, dude.
And Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's last year.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And it might have been an Amazon-made movie, or Amazon-branded movie.
Maybe.
Well, maybe not. I don't really know. Well, it's you know, it's a pretty good action movie. I enjoyed it. And also, for some reason, I've seen like three movies with Jason Mewes in it recently.
Piece of shit.
What? A couple of years ago, he made this movie called Madness and the Method, where he's playing himself and he just starts killing people.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's and he directed it as well.
Oh, weird.
And it's got, like, cameos by people playing themselves, like, you know, Kevin Smith and stuff like that.
Mm.
It's basically kind of like a Kevin Smith movie, but just directed by Jason Mewes instead.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And it wasn't terrible. It kind of was just making fun of, like, himself and what level of fame he's got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of turning it into a comedy horror, I guess. But, yeah, then he was in this movie called Book of Fire, briefly, which is not a good movie. It's, got a lot of, like, you know, bad blue screen over, you know, cheesy backgrounds and stuff.
You're making it appeal to me.
You might like it. I don't know. It was directed by somebody named Tommy Fraser.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, I just brought it up because you tend to follow directors and stuff, so maybe he's done something else you might have seen.
Tommy Fraser, you know Tommy Fraser? Down at the car lot?
Yeah, he wasn't like a major cast member in this, but he was like in... It was a little bit more than just a walk-on, but, you know. And then there was a movie called The Night Crew that, again, was he had a real small role in. But, and that had, who did that have? Anyway, I don't know, I can't remember. Luke Goss, that's who was the lead in that. Oh, and can we, alright, so last time we talked, I was pointing out how, like, there's kind of, like, just some, I don't know what you want to call them, Hollywood tactics that are sort of smarmy, like when they're promoting a thing. And last week it was talking about like how they're that movie that was based off of a graphic novel, and they kept saying hit comic book and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that as just sort of being like Hollywood marketing speak or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's another thing I don't like is when there's a movie that they've made that's got not real B-list characters, but not like super A-list either. You know, like they are people you recognize from other stuff, and they're fine actors, but they're just not like, you know, A-list or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Their name's not going to be a big draw. So they get somebody that's got a name that will draw people into the movie and cast them in a limited role because they probably can't afford, for whatever reason, it would break the budget or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then, like, if you're watching the credits, they'll be billed that way. Like, they'll be billed as, like, with whoever, you know? So they're not being billed as top actors or anything. And then when they put out the marketing stuff, like the trailer and the poster and the this and that and everything, they'll feature that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll edit the trailer to make it look like it's that person's movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty shitty thing to do.
That's been going on forever.
I know, but I mean, that's it.
All Bruce Willis does now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a lot of those. A lot of Sylvester Stallone stuff's like that, too.
Yeah, it's all he does.
But, I mean, that's still like a, you know, that's bait and switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that pretty much exactly fits the definition of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched this movie, and this wasn't a terrible movie. Okay, and that makes it even worse when it's actually a decent movie. Because it's like, what, you just couldn't let it rest on the merits of the movie itself? Like, but there was this movie, and I'll admit it, I decided to watch it because it had Jean-Claude Van Damme in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that old. It's called Swelter.
Okay.
It's got a guy who was pretty prominent from Walking Dead in it, like as one of the other actors.
Mm-hmm.
Lenny James, I think.
Okay.
And I can't remember. I think remember that show that was a sci-fi show about, like, what was that called? It was like after aliens come and the planet's all wrecked and it kind of turns into Old West kind of stuff.
I don't know.
And they kept using all those dumb names for, like, new, like, they call cars rollers and stuff.
Yes, go on.
Not Oblivion. Those were movies. Anyway, another one of the lead actors was a dude that was prominent in that show. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme was in it, but he's got, you know, a very limited number of lines. It's more than a cameo, because he's got a decent amount of screen time, but he's definitely not, like, a major part of the movie or anything. But it was, like, a decent movie. That's the thing that kind of made me even madder about it, because it's, like, why'd you have to do this, you know? But I guess it worked, because it got me to watch it. Still a shitty thing to do, though. They can go fuck themselves.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't like it either, but, you know.
Stuff like this needs to be called out.
Yeah.
Maybe if they got enough negative feedback on it, they'd stop doing it. Probably not, though. Okay, so I guess that's it for me this week. I've got that out of my system.
Do you?
Maybe.
Are we going to, next time I see you, or am I going to hear about this?
No, I'll have forgotten about it by then. Pretty sure I'll have forgotten about it by then. Anyway. Because, you know, there's probably going to be something else, like another stupid casserole or something that's come up since then. So, anyway, do we have any email? Do we care if we have an email?
I think I do have an email. Let me look.
Because, you know. Email.
David D. writes on. He says, thanks for still being here.
Oh.
He says, I hadn't heard the show in years and was stressed and grinding on work projects and looking for something I could listen to and work at the same time. That would make for an enjoyable, chill company as it always has been. Cough, years ago, it would keep me sane during a really tedious job. I figured that Crankcast would still be there. It always has been over the years in those moments when I need it. So I checked out for week 852 from the first week of February. Weird movie talk, stories of Crank's colorful parents, grandfather clock nightmares, alley bears. I'm at an age when I've watched so many physical and virtual spaces that used to be there be gone. So it was great that you are still doing this, and always with the humility, calm, and friendship. And listening to it brought me right back anyway. I'll stop because I am probably making it weird. But just wanted to say thanks for continuing to invite us all to hang out.
Well, thanks for stopping back in again.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100 years Crankcast.
And also to say that I checked that there are actually 6 Vice Academy movies, so Mike, you're only half done. Got to catch them all. I've seen all 6.
Oh, wait. When did he? What episode did he say he watched or listened to?
Week 852.
So that was... Oh, okay, so that's just a couple of weeks ago.
This is February 26th, so this is already a while ago.
Wow, we talk about Vice Academy a lot.
It's worth talking about.
Why are we letting Vice Academy live rent-free in our heads?
That's a classic.
Vice Academy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's got Dolly Parton's cousin in it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Parton, a.k.a. Malathion.
Malathion? She's some sort of, like, Sumerian goddess or something?
No, all the villains have, like, superhero names, like, villain names.
Malathion?
Malathion is her name.
Wait, does that have something to do with her thighs? Are these named, like, He-Man characters?
No, but that should be it.
Like, she's got evil thighs or something?
I don't know. Rick Sloan probably thought so.
How would you represent an evil thigh?
Well, none of them they barely wear clothes, so.
That's getting with the sexy thigh, then.
Sexy thigh.
Sexy thighed.
Mm.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, I'm wondering if I've ever actually seen the Vice Academy movies.
No, you haven't.
I mean, I know what they are, but I am failing to recall a single scene from one.
Oh, there's nothing worth anything in any of them.
Was Quigley in them?
Yes, she's in the first 2 or 3.
I might have seen one of those in, because I went through a kick one time when I watched as many movies of hers as I could find. So, possibly. Is one of these involved... No. What was the thing that Linnea Quigley was in that involved a frat house that needed to save itself?
Oh, I don't remember, but I've seen that one, too.
There was, like, a sequel to that one, too. Or maybe that one was the sequel.
Yeah.
Might have been 3 of those. I don't remember. From some evil, like, businessman or something. They had to save stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, okay. Well, cool. Are we done?
Yeah.
All right. You can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Mike's website is ihatemike.com, where I'm sure once he figures out what conventions he's going to be at, he'll post a schedule there.
Oh, maybe, yeah, that's a good idea.
Probably is a good idea. That way people know, you know? They know where to find the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to drop the mic.
Don't drop the mic.
You know.
You got to step up to the mic.
You can find arts at cadencecomicart.com. Lots of folks have stuff there. And I guess that's it. I mean, we're on the Instagrams and the Twitters, and like separately. There's not a Crankcast Instagram, because that would be pretty boring, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you know, have a good weekend and be safe.
Do it. Bye.
Take it.
Take it.